Christ.
Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, the last week we talked about climate change and impeachment. This week, the climate has changed and it's 100 degrees.
It is
all week.
It is in that it is now October 2nd.
Yeah.
And it is approximately 100,000 degrees.
Yeah. And the weird part is, and I don't know if this is just my mind, but it even feels like it's made its way inside.
Well, indeed, we are in the studio here today at Joy 620 WRJZ, and always grateful to be able to be on air with these good folks. But today, I believe we have an air conditioner issue.
Yeah.
It is muggy, to say the least.
If I were the boss here, I would say go home until this is fixed. This is not.
Dave, you might want to pass that on to whoever's out there.
So. Go home. And if you, of course, the listeners can't tell, but I have a long sleeve shirt on
and a tie
and my long sleeve buffalo plaid flannel that I'm trying to bring in the cold weather.
Well,
my outfit choices.
I announced on Sunday. Were you there Sunday?
No, I was at another church.
Okay. I understand that.
I was speaking.
I know.
It wasn't just.
No, so I actually wore although it was a thin sweater, indeed a sweater.
Yeah.
Come on. I basically told our congregation that I was trying to force fall
upon
us. And so probably sometime later this week, we're going to carve pumpkins and have some apple cider just in an effort to force the fall in.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it worked.
No.
And I wore a sweater last week as well, trying to do the same thing.
We do believe there's a respite ahead, though,
there
right?
There is, yeah. From what I could gather on the internet.
Some relief.
There's going to be in the 60s next week.
Man, that
like during
be nice.
The day, like for the high.
Yeah.
Which would be, man, that would be.
So
heaven.
Before we go any further, I need to address something with the people today.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to put something out here that that is going to demand some type of response from you.
Okay.
But also I feel like it's my responsibility as a host of this show to bring this information to the ears of our listeners. Yes. Have you had a career change?
Well,
it is my understanding you have not had a career change. You continue to be the executive director at Hope Resource Center. So grateful for the ministry. However, I did open up Instagram last night. As you know, I've bailed on Facebook.
That's the one social media
you're
holding on to. I've
bailed on Facebook. I've bailed on Twitter.
Yep.
I've closed my MySpace. you know, whatever it may
be. It'll come back.
Yeah. But I did open up Instagram and I saw a picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw a few different pictures of you that were not on your account.
Yeah.
Meaning they were with one of our dear friends, DW Designs.
Yeah.
A local vendor here in town
that
provides amazing resources, or not resources, they're not providing Bible studies.
Kind of.
They're providing clothes.
Resources.
They
close.
Provide clothes and gifts and things that are awesome, kind of Tennessee-based stuff. And you were modeling their thing, their clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that it's a dream,
but
it's a dream.
Man! Yeah.
And so here's the thing.
You have stepped into male modeling.
Yeah, I've been I've been in the fashion world for a long time, Jason.
Oh, really?
You know that.
Wow.
And so the first time I went into DW, that's when I met Dan.
Great folks. They're right down in Kingston Pike now, kind of Beard
amazing.
Hill area.
Yeah, amazing building.
You should check it out
by for sure.
Yep.
And so I didn't know Dan or Don outside of that. Just walked in one day. I like the stuff and I like to shop local. Began a friendship with Dan. And really,
it appears things have escalated.
Well, and really, the whole point of that friendship was so that I could be
a model.
clearly. And so, I did think those chances were gone when I shaved the beard, if I'm honest. I thought they won't like a grungy looking.
I wouldn't have thought the chances were high at any point. but
here's the thing.
But yet, yesterday, I mean,
Had a shoot.
You went from the shoot
yesterday
to print quickly.
Yeah, really quickly.
And not really print, you were out there on Instagram. Yeah.
And so, really quickly, and here's what Dawn said, and she's great, but, she said, I thought, man, we don't have any guys, in our clothes, and a lot of guys shop here, and some of the other guys I asked said no. I was like, oh. Okay.
And so at that moment, silence set in the conversation.
Yeah.
And you just kind of reflected. So I was like, perfect!
Yeah, so I wasn't playing absolutely. B, C, or D, but what matters is my dreams of becoming a model, influencer, ambassador. Yeah, all of those words are important.
It's funny now that I think about that. Dan and Don had texted me late last week, and I didn't get a chance to get back to them. So
yeah. Sorry. I thought it would have been cool if we could have done one together. Just two dudes wearing DW stuff.
Man, that for real, in all sincerity, they are amazing folks.
No, it's good clothes.
You definitely need to go check them out again.
And one of the reasons why they asked me is because I've spent
a lot of money there.
So much money there. And I love it. Every shirt, I told her, I was like, look, when I'm not wearing like my work clothes, I'm in a DW
shirt. So now that we have dealt with probably the most pressing issue of the week.
That was important.
Let's talk about what we're going to get into this week.
Yeah, so last week we talked about some important things in the news, of course, and you can listen to the archive. You can find that online at iTunes or Google Play or TuneIn app, wherever podcasts are found. This week we were texting and saying, okay, what are we going to talk about this week? Impeachment and things are still in the news.
And traditionally what we do is we spend hours upon hours researching.
I can't even calculate it.
I mean, it would be a huge number.
It was lucky I even had the time to do the photo shoot yesterday.
But we indeed do look through the news, in all sincerity. We look through the news. We see anything that kind of pops. And certainly there's always kind of common thread issues. And many of those are issues that we've not just covered once, but we've talked about in varying degrees and different angles many different times. And today, we come upon an article that popped that is going to bring us to an issue that is one we have never discussed.
Never.
And it is the issue of UFOs, extraterrestrial life, life beyond what we know, life on Mars, all of this stuff that seems to be hitting the news a little bit more in recent days.
Well, I think there's always been, I mean, you can just look at documentaries, you can look at the History Channel, legitimately, every night when I go to History Channel, thinking there's going to be some politic history, you know, some political history. Instead, it's about aliens, ancient aliens, every single night.
Or it is, what are the two guys that go around?
The archaeology.
The other two guys. Oh gosh, I can't believe the two.
Oh,
guys.
The Bigfoot or the?
No, the guys that go and find like antique stuff.
Yeah, what is that called?
They have a store in Nashville.
They do.
They've got a place
they
in
do.
Iowa.
They have all of
that. Oh gosh. Antique something maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
I've failed.
But
I've watched that show 1,000 times and I've failed.
We'll find it after the break.
Yes.
But after all of that, I mean, so there's a sense of wanting to know and there's a sense of wanting to believe. I think there's a large part of the population that want to believe there's life somewhere out there, there's UFOs out there, there's aliens, there's life on Mars, you know, all these things. And so the article you sent me was from CNN, and it says, when or if NASA finds life on Mars, the world may not be ready for the discovery, is what the agency chief says. Now, he said it will be revolutionary. It will start a whole new line of thinking. I don't think we're prepared for the results.
There are efforts to be on Mars in the coming days, like even 2020, isn't that correct? I think that might be the case.
Yeah, Mars 2020 rover is set to launch next summer.
Right, and so a lot of this is connected to, is there water? And the thought is, if there's water, and if there's any type of proof of water, then where there's water, there can be life, or at least that's proposed. But this is right on the heels of something that I saw. I think it stood out to me because it was just such a unique group of people that were assembling to discuss UFOs. But I don't know if you saw, this guy from Blink 182 has put together this group that involves, researchers and scientists, but then also entertainers, and it is called to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. And so you've got this unique dynamic group that is attempting to find tangible evidence for UFOs and like really get to the bottom of these things. And basically, the U.S. Navy came out in regards to three videos and basically gave some validation. Now, not validation in the sense of they're aliens but rather these are indeed true UFOs, like they are things that they cannot
unidentify.
They cannot identify. They cannot dismiss. They are videos of which have been apparently studied enough, researched enough, and they cannot dismiss them as X or as Y. Again, that does not mean they're necessarily Martians, well, but they could not dismiss them. So they have immediately had some validity in
theory.
And
I think that's an important thing, too, is just because it's an unidentified flying object doesn't mean it's from outer space. Nowadays, we have drones. We have things that it used to be back in the day, it was a lot harder to kind of trick people. Now, a picture or a video can be posted online, and it looks completely legitimate and real.
Right.
The thing about these videos that were released was there was Navy pilots kind of tracking something, and they didn't know what it was, and it was moving so fast. And now you see that on the surface, and you go, well, that's probably nothing. That's probably a doctored video. Well, now you have
the
Navy coming out and going, well, yeah, I mean, we don't know what it is.
Yeah, it says, to be clear, the Navy is not saying that these videos show evidence of alien life. Rather, the Navy is saying it can't identify the phenomena in the videos. The Navy considers UAPs like these a national security and safety problem because they are not authorized to be in U.S. airspace. After a series of classified briefings featuring Navy pilots and lawmakers this summer, the Navy announced it had formalized its process for pilots and other personnel to report UAPs so that records of these sightings are more consistent and therefore easier to investigate. And so, again, there has been some legitimacy, at least, to this is not something we can dismiss immediately. And so, with that said, it just seems like people are beginning to perk up a little bit more. And, you know, you're beginning to see protests of people who are saying that information should be classified, or places that have been closed in our country, kind of these Area 51 type locations. People are supposedly preparing to storm the gates and to get in and to see what's behind
that.
The barrier. Yeah, I would not recommend that, you know. And I think even our president in the last few months made some statement and kind of dismissed it personally, but said, on the other hand, you know, like there may be information to find out there. I mean, he did what we would probably expect from him, which really didn't dismiss anything, but on the other hand, didn't really
take a
strong statement.
If I were elected president, the first thing I would do, first thing, is go find out about that.
Yeah,
is there something that I didn't know that's classified that now I'm the president, I'm going to look at everything? And I would, and one would think that this president would do that and then tell the world about it.
Yes.
That would be the normal reaction to it. So when we come back, we'll dig in a little bit more in that, but we'll also kind of look at that. Okay. So you may be listening going, what does this have to do with the biblical worldview? Well, we're going to tell you about that when we come back. So today's topic on the surface may seem a little odd to some people.
Right.
We're talking about UFOs and aliens and, like, is there life? Whenever I say, is there life out there, that's a Reba song.
Reba McEntire song. Yes.
But there's a sense of, especially here as of late, there's been a push for, there's been some videos that were released. The Navy is saying, look, we're not saying they're aliens. We're just saying we don't know what these objects are.
Right.
And that concerns us.
And we are, I promise, about to get to what do we do with this.
Yes.
But let me ask this one question. You mentioned what you would do if you were the president.
Let's correct that.
When you become
president.
Okay. I think that I would probably just spend like a significant amount of time just like, hey, I want to know.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this lost culture. Talk to me about this ancient city. Talk to me about, you know, really what happened here, and tell me about this person who was shot, or, you know, tell me the real story. And I think, as we kind of joked off air, I would be really, really tempted to just not govern.
Yeah, I wouldn't govern at all. And so they would say, sir, president, we need to form a cabinet. And I would go, okay, form it. I don't care.
Do what you need to do. I am reading this
everything
book.
That's classified. I need on my desk today.
Yes.
Everything.
Sir, you have yet to select an actual vice president. I know that people traditionally do that in, in when they're campaigning.
No. Pick them. I don't care.
Just do what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure they're healthy.
Right.
What I need is everything classified on my desk, and that's all I need. And then they'll say, sir, you haven't changed clothes in a month. I go, there's a lot of classified material here.
Here's two objectives in the beginning of my tenure as president. Number one, give me all the classified information. Yes. Number two, we're getting rid of daylight savings time.
And number three, put a Chick-fil-A in the White House.
Amen. All right. So now we transition.
Now that we fixed the world.
Thank you.
The country, at least.
So we think about all of this discussion related to UFOs and extraterrestrial life and again, you know, life on Mars or wherever it may be. What do we do with that biblically? And I think where we first and foremost start with is that there is nothing in existence that is beyond the spectrum or the realm of God's creation. And so I think sometimes we indeed hear that God created the heavens and the earth. We think of all the things that God spoke into existence. We think about how he breathed man into existence. And what is the hub for all of those things? In our mind, it is naturally the earth. But when you begin to think about the heavens, you're thinking about a much larger expanse. And I think the tendency is to think that maybe there's a possibility that God created a bunch of things and God is in this realm. And then there is somehow someone or something that is existing in a different realm. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to first and foremost just start with the idea that there is nothing in existence, nothing in any place, in any realm that is outside of the creation of God. And that begins to point us to the sovereignty of God.
Well, and when we look at that, even with sending something to Mars and you know, the guy saying we're not ready for that, here's the thing. Whatever they find at Mars, God already knows what's there.
Correct.
It's not going to – he's not also waiting to go, man, I can't wait till that rover gets there.
It's going to be fascinating.
Wonder what's going to be there. And John Piper said this, which I thought was interesting. He said, one of the great joys of believing in the absolute sovereignty of God over all things is knowing that he is in control of every falling bird, as we see in Matthew 10, and all the movements of the farthest galaxies, as we see in Isaiah 40. Nothing anywhere in the universe happens apart from his plan. Whatever he causes directly or whatever he permits less directly, everything happens in accord with his all-wise, all-just, all-merciful plan. He works all things according to the counsel of his will, as seen in Ephesians 1. So the point is, if we believe God is sovereign on earth, then he's sovereign, period.
Correct.
Of the galaxy.
Correct. And I would say that there is no possibility that a UFO shows up that is not in the hand of God, if that makes sense. Like,
right.
I mean, let me be very clear. I am a skeptic. Okay.
I'm glad we both are.
I am a skeptic. Okay. And so I'm not anticipating a UFO showing up, but I know that there are good people who have deep convictions that really do somehow believe that, you know, there is extraterrestrial life out there. But let's say that I am proven wrong, and today, on this scorching hot day, in this scorching hot studio, that a UFO shows up right out here on Magnolia. You know, like if that happens, it will not occur unless God permitted it to occur. And in that, certain things are still going to be true. Things like this: Jesus still is Lord. Mm-hmm. We are still sinful people desperately in need of salvation. And when we also begin to think about the idea, now again, I am a skeptic, but I think we have to at least be mindful that we do indeed believe in a very real, very real presence of evil, that is put into the person that is the enemy, otherwise known as the devil, Satan, however you want to describe him. And we also do indeed believe in spiritual warfare. And so, in fact, even if a UFO were to exist, it would not be the most outlandish thing that is occurring in God's creation. Not that I'm saying that something is outlandish, you know, that this is things that God's created, but there is this reality, and with the idea that indeed there is demonic presence, there is spiritual warfare,
sure.
there are these things. Guess what is still true? Jesus. our fallen nature, our need for redemption, God's sovereignty, God's plan, all of these things still remain true.
Well, I think, you know, I'm a skeptic as well. That doesn't mean I don't want it to be true.
Like, yes, I
absolutely
it.
Want it to
I do not live in fear of it.
Look,
in fact,
yeah.
I would be thrilled.
Yeah, I would be the opposite of it, of fear. That would be amazing if we walked out today and we were the ones. Think about that interview. If we were the ones that made first contact with the extraterrestrial.
What if the aliens or extraterrestrials discovered us? So in other words, what if like they kind of fumbled onto this road at this time during this show and walked in and discovered us?
They would probably think, they are the kings.
I would think they would potentially say there's nothing to see here and go back to their place.
They probably would fly back.
I would doubt that one of them would say, is this one guy a male model?
Is that what he drives?
Yeah.
Is that what male models drive? 12-passenger vans? They probably wouldn't say that. But as we look at that, I do think it's important that we, I think sometimes, again, we look at God's sovereignty. Sometimes we even struggle to look at his sovereignty on the earth. Some of us see it as America. Like, okay, he created the United States, and all the blessings come to this country and hasn't yet made its way around the globe. Not even to say that we're looking outside of the earth, but I think sometimes we even struggle to look at God's sovereignty within the earth.
Right.
And so we're making a very big God very small.
Right. It says this, God is not a territorial deity, which means earth or this solar system is not his limited territory. While other gods have their interplanetary territory, God created all things. The point of saying that God made all the stars and gave them all their names was precisely to banish any thought that other gods have their space in the universe. They do not. There is no galaxy, no star, no planet, no moon, no asteroid, no space where God is not God. And I would say that same to be true to anything that is out there. If there was life out there, God is still God, and God is still God to them.
Yeah.
And that's...
And that's one of those things, it's hard to wrap our minds around, but it is something, as we see this in the news, I think at times we just dismiss it. Instead, we need to, you know, there are certainly some stories we probably should dismiss, but I think in looking at this from a broader place, we need to go, hold on, if God is sovereign, then none of this is going to surprise him. Whatever's found on Mars is not going to surprise our God. We'll be back. Let that play for a second. Listen to that, Jason. Does that get you pumped? Are you walking out to that Sunday?
No, it does not.
Do you have walkout music as a pastor? Like wrestlers? I would recommend that.
We actually, in the irony of you saying that, obviously we do not have walkout music.
Good.
But, as you know. But we are having our friend Kent Bateman, who's the pastor of City Church.
Okay.
We kind of have a family of churches. I'm going to be going to Hope Fellowship and preaching here in a couple of weeks. And then Kent Bateman is going to be coming to Shoreline, and Dominique will be at City Church. And so we're going to kind of swap the pulpits a bit. And we were joking about we were going to do like a Michael Jordan, like old school Chicago Bulls, welcome for Kent, you know, like 6-1. I mean, kind of that deal. But
then you remembered we don't want to elevate anybody.
Right.
On stage.
Right. Every Sunday we say that we won't elevate the name of anyone but the name of Jesus.
And now that we said that, now welcome.
And now
Pastor 6-1.
Charlotte, North Carolina. we will not do that.
That's probably good. It's probably better that we do that here.
Right.
And not on the
So if we
could
work
mornings.
On that segue for next time, that'd be great.
So as we look at this, the topic of UFOs and aliens and extra just life out in the space. And so we were talking off air.
Were you an E.T. fan?
It was a little early for me.
Thanks a lot.
I've watched it.
Has there ever been an alien movie that you
Independence Day, 100%.
Yeah.
Will Smith is in it. Clearly, yeah. That's one of my
favorites. Men in Black, of course.
Yeah, Men in Black's another great one. but yeah, Independence Day for sure is one of the best ever.
So when we do talk about these things, you know, I think it actually, there's probably some people that could continue to drill down into this conversation.
Oh, for sure.
To a much greater
probably
depth.
Upset we're only spending 45 minutes on
it. Right. But we are really focusing just on the sovereignty of God, and that anything that very well may exist out there is still under the authority of God, and it is not a surprise to God. And I think that a conversation like this actually is closely connected, at least in our response, to a number of other things that kind of come across the cultural landscape. And so it feels like at times we see this interest in maybe something like UFOs or an interest in life beyond. And I think the reason that you see it birthed there or where it's birthed is out of fear. And so I think that's the same reason you see you know, these continued conversations about when is the earth coming to an end?
Right.
And, you know, you get these, supposed prophets that come out and they have declared that the world's coming to an end on this date. And inevitably we are still here, you know, and you hear people who have these conspiracy theories about how the government is going to turn on us and we all need to be storing up our resources deep down in an attic or in a cellar
in
somewhere.
A yeah, something. Yeah. Not an attic, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, that would be awkward.
Yeah,
yeah, it could fall through and everything else. Like, yeah, sorry about that. But
I got what you're saying.
But yeah, and why do you think that those things? Why do you think those things connect with people?
Yeah, I think we are just conversations with family members. I think fear is constantly there. Even fear within what society and culture would deem, and what I would deem a tough person, somebody that's super tough. I know there's a person I have in my mind right now, super tough, strong. I would want in the bunker with me if things went south.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, but I do think a lot of that is birthed in fear, because a lot of the conversations we have are based in what if they do this, what if they do that, what if this happens, what if this happens, and so there's this constant worst case scenario,
a ton of what ifs,
and I'm going, you can't even enjoy anything. If all you think about is the worst case, that doesn't mean we don't prepare.
Right.
But man, if all your hours are spent thinking of worst case scenarios and worst case scenario never happens, what a terrible thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. There's not a ton of movies or, you know, shows that depict like alien life, you know, coming to the earth and just being like, super chill, like they shouldn't cohabitate. Like they just kind of like, hey,
hey,
we just want to make your earth better.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to improve agriculture. Yeah. We're going to do some things we're going to integrate technologies that are going to advance you guys, hundreds of years, all for the better. We're going to try to create some type of, obviously we don't hang our hat on moralism, but you know, there's going to be this group of really kind aliens that come into the earth and just make everyone a little bit better.
Yeah.
No, it is always, if
they're
aliens are out there, they are going to kill us all.
Yeah.
And they are going to, we will be captive on our very earth and prepare yourself, you know, and that speaks towards fear. It really does.
Well, and even if you look at it from a broader standpoint, there are societies and tribes around the world that we know are there. And we just view.
Right.
We don't engage. We kind of keep them in that. And we're okay with that. And so if we do that, if civilization has done that in the past and continues to do that.
Right.
Then who's to say, again, this is a hypothetical, who's to say that's not what aliens are doing?
Right.
If they're out there, they could just be viewing and going, I'm just watching this all unfold. And so But instead we go, no. If they saw us, they would drop some
again,
kind of laser beam.
Let's establish we are skeptics. Yeah. We are not affirming. Yeah. We're simply just saying what these conversations bring up and what our quickness to click on that link for an article or you know our continued interest with it. I think it again speaks towards a deep-rooted fear, and that fear in many cases is an indication of our lack in the belief of the sovereignty of God and his care for us and his provision for us. I do believe that one of the misnomers of the Christian faith is that God will never lead us into anything that we cannot handle. That is
for
not
sure,
accurate.
Yeah.
There are many things that God leads us into that we cannot handle in our own strength.
Right.
What we see, though, is there is nothing God will lead us into that we cannot handle in his care, his strength, his guidance, his provision. And in the same way that, candidly, we could sit here and look in fear and say, in 30 years from now, I'm a pastor, in 30 years from now or in 3 years from now, could I be imprisoned for preaching truth? Could I be a modern-day martyr someday in the state of Tennessee? I almost said Knoxville. That would have been awkward. No, you know, but in the city of Knoxville, in the state of Tennessee,
right.
could I become a martyr for these things? I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you this. One, again, God is in control of it. Two, God will be sovereign over it. And I will not be able to handle it in my own strength. However, God will sustain me. He will guide me. He will care for me. And whatever his will is for my life, it will occur.
Well, and here's the amazing thing about that. Regardless of what happens 3 years from now or 30 years from now, we've been called to consistently and faithfully preach the gospel.
Right.
The environment around us, whether it's chaotic or not, whether it's a rough environment or not, whether it's a put you in jail environment or not,
right.
doesn't change the consistent and faithful preaching of the gospel.
Right.
And so what also doesn't change is we may not know what 3 years holds for us.
But he does.
But God does.
Right.
And so if we spent from here on out, if we said, look, because we don't know what the next election looks like or because we don't know what this looks like,
right.
we're really going to make a lot of changes because of the worst case scenario. And that worst case scenario never happens, which oftentimes is the case.
Right.
In our mind, we go to the worst possible outcome. And the reality is that worst possible outcome never happens. And even if it does, God is still in control of those situations.
A moment of disclosure here for us. Have you ever prepared yourself for a crisis that did not occur? In other words, did you prepare yourself for, the turn into 2000? did you... do any of those things that I need to be aware of as a co-host with you? I need to know.
I personally, I guess as an individual, may not have. But as a family, like with my dad,
yes.
I'm constant prep mode. and so there has been conversations.
Has water been stored in your home at any point?
No, but there has been conversations verbatim my dad has said, when this, and he doesn't say if, he says, when this happens, you either get to the mountains there in East Tennessee.
Right.
And get off the grid.
Yes.
Or you get back home as quick as you can and there will be a firearm waiting for you.
So wow.
Those are conversations that I have with my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay. And I actually told Gavin.
How does one respond to that?
I just say, okay, Daddy.
Thanks, Dad.
And I told Gavin over the weekend that if something were to go down, we have the best vehicle for that.
You do.
We do.
You are basically the A-team.
Yes. We'll be back. So, we finally got a chance to really talk about aliens because we're big fans of Men in Black.
I need to disclose something. I asked you to disclose some information at the end of the last segment. I need to disclose that in light of this song, I learned a choreographed dance of Men in Black straight from the music video and performed it at the Family Bowl with a great friend of mine 2 weeks ago. No, I'm just joking. I was approximately 16 years of age. That's
awesome.
How long the Family Bowl has been there.
Wow.
Down right off Kingston Pike in West Knoxville. But, yeah.
It's a great song.
But yeah.
It really is.
Could I remember even a single move of it? Yes. I could not, actually.
Come on. Yeah, you could.
Okay, I could. Yes.
That's like me saying, do I still know all of Bye 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 dance routine for
yes,
NSYNC?
You do. Yes, you
of
do.
Of course I do.
All right, so some big news with Hope Resource Center. Give it to us.
Yeah, so we have a golf tournament coming up Monday, October, what is Monday? October 7th. And so it's at Gettysview, and if you're a golfer, that's one of the best courses around.
It's, yeah, it's
gorgeous,
fantastic.
Beautiful. It's going to be an amazing day for golf. We start breakfast at 8, check-in at 8. 8:30 is the start time. Individual player, $175. Team of four, $700. And then you can buy mulligan packages. But here's the news that I have for you, is I have some sponsored spots available. So if you are thinking, look, I'd love to play, but I may not be able to get a team together. Look,
yeah, and next week is fall break.
Next week is fall break, so I know it's a tougher. But if you want to play, email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. I'd love to connect you and get you on a team. Or if you have four guys or four girls, reach out to me. We'd love to see you out there on Monday and golf with us and raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, I cannot say enough. I know that we have a lot of listeners who are connected to either our ministries, either with Shoreline Church or Hope Resource Center. But if you are not connected to the work of Hope Resource Center, I cannot say enough of the impact they're making in our community. And it doesn't happen for free. Let me rephrase that. It does for our for your patients.
Yeah.
But those services cost money. And so we need, as the church, as individuals in our community, to come alongside great organizations like Hope Resource Center. An easy thing to do, maybe even say, yeah, I don't play golf or I'm going to be out of town. Please, please, please. Again, Andrew, give them that email one more time.
Yeah, just shoot me an email, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. If you just want to partner with us, investinghope.com, and you can click the donate button there. Also, right now we have classes going on. It's one of the largest set of classes we've ever had. 20 to 24 girls are in our class right now. And what that means is in a few weeks, in November, we are going to have around 24 baby showers
for these patients. A massive amount of baby showers.
And so partner with us, it's just an amazing opportunity for us to, I was able to speak to the patients last night that are in class, and I was able to look at them and say, there are people in this city that you'll never meet, strangers in the city that you'll never meet, they'll never meet you, but they love you right where you are, and love you enough to donate, love you enough to partner with us. And so it's just it's an awesome thing. And to look at all those girls last night and say, look, the baby growing inside of you right now was created in the image of God. You were created in image of God, and you were picked to be the mom to this child. God could have chosen anyone, but he chose you. And that's just an amazing truth that we want our patients to take home. And so partner with us, investinghope.com.
That's good stuff. So last week we tried to determine who would win first, the basketball Vols or the football Vols. And we did not realize that actually the baseball Vols played on Saturday, a little fall classic,
and
won both games against Clemson. And so we were both wrong.
We were both wrong, and the football Vols will not win Saturday. I mean, we have Georgia. I just not feeling it. I could be wrong. I'd love to be wrong. It's kind of like the alien thing. I'd love to be wrong.
I'm making an announcement.
Are you
right now?
You're picking UT.
I've been skeptic all morning long or all afternoon long now, related to this UFO discussion. I am going to go with the Vols in a massive upset.
Massive upset.
Maybe Who am I kidding? I'm not going for the Vols. I'm cheering for them, but they're not going to win.
Yeah, we'll cheer for them. We're there for them, but Lord have mercy. We'll talk to you next week.
God bless you.